All right, what are we going to do under administrative? You said you had a thing or two.
We have one thing that's pressing. With our move of Dixie to her own department, she is in need of a copier. As you remember, previous month ago, I made the mention of maybe upgrading our copier and getting one that supports DocuWare so that we can scan our documents, our grants, our all right. that. I'd like to bring that back up to you guys. You know, there's now four of the same copiers of those that all work with DocuWare. The other two that are on the, this one's on the state bid. It cost
$8,498. $8,000?
Yep. But the cheaper version that doesn't support DocuWare is around the $6,000. This is state bid, lowest price, and we priced it again. The sheriff just recently bought one. Prosecuting attorney has one. Auditor has one. And Bob Dixon has one. So I'd like... to move that we buy this for the commission office and give our copier to Dixie, who's in need of one.
And this has a scanner capability.
Scanner, it's a color printer. If you notice, Nikki's printer has broken, Jillian's on the fritz. This would, everyone could print to one color printer, copier, scanner.
Now, is this similar to what the auditor's office?
Exactly the same model.
I heard them brag on
yep.
it. They were very happy.
And it reduces our...
Motion to do so.
Second. I think I had, in my frugalness, had asked us to
double price it or price
check
it
to be sure there wasn't something better, and that's there, happened.
There, it exactly happened. I have two other bids that are different options, but they don't support DocuWare. And for the small increase in price, it's worth the DocuWare support, so we can get everything scanned in upstairs.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
That's all administrative I have. I have something for personnel, which you guys can see, that we'll talk about. I think you got something posted at 1 o'clock or 1:30, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just going to bring it up then if we had time.
We got something else at 11, don't we?
We have Frank Preston. Ladies and gentlemen, please make a warm welcome to Frank Preston.
I'll see
you. Now, before you leave, sir, and were we okay with what we just did? We approved this copier, and it wasn't specific. Is that all right, administrative? I don't want to split hairs that don't need to.
Well, actually, all we're doing is approving the purchase of it, because the process, we'll have to approve it in accounts payable again.
Okay. Why don't you just go ahead and approve it in accounts payable?
Okay, so...
Okay, so we're okay with what we just did?
Yeah, but we're going to have to reapprove it anyway.
You're going
to
approve it in accounts payable. It's better whenever you do an individual... I'd rather you do an individual agenda item.
Gotcha.
And I'm going to be I'm going to give you a lot of our recommendations concerning complying with the agenda dockets and the sunshine.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Good.
All right.
We're yours, Frank.
There's nothing else at 9 o'clock. That was the only thing. We had a little bit of administration, and Frank was 11, correct? Frank's 11.
We're rolling.
All right.
Action.
One thing that's under your list, I think we tabled, was Quail Road.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have that in front of me, but I was pretty sure that we okay. had that.
Do the easy ones first.
Okay, do the easy ones first. I like that.
Change order for Coon Creek.
Another one?
This came across yesterday via email from Great River. It appears that this change order came about because MoDOT's requirements are more extensive than Great River or myself had acknowledged. When they're paving BB, they have to do what's called taper grinding, which is grind down the existing asphalt so that the new asphalts will meet. MoDOT has a pretty extreme length in that it's 200 feet long. It's 100 feet per inch, and they'll be doing a 2-inch overlay. So ultimately, at the contract agreed upon unit price of $24 a square yard, the change order number 3 comes to $16,872. It's a MoDOT requirement. First I heard of this was in the pre-construction meeting.
Well, let me ask you something. I'm just getting these change orders, just one right after the other. It seems like it overwhelms me. I can't put the old way of doing business with this new, if we run into a problem, let's just issue a change order. I could have got every job I ever bid if I would have done it that way.
Mm.
But whenever I came across, and I told the wife last night as we drove through Kirbyville, I said, they're going to actually, I can't see how they're not going to be able to do this without grinding part of the old surface off the old road where the lip comes up to meet the other one. Mm-hmm. It actually tilts a little bit and the other road comes in like this, and it's, and I was talking about that last night. I think it's a necessity, but thing of it is I don't know how that we missed it.
Now, one of my questions, Tom Boyce, this is not something that he missed. This is something that Great River basically, in our rush to get everything approved, it's a MoDOT requirement. Who would have caught it? Would Boyce have caught it? Should we have caught it? Great River obviously should have caught it because they're talking with MoDOT. But during the MoDOT review process, why wasn't this caught from MoDOT?
I think several parties are at fault for actually not catching this.
Let me ask you this. Why, and they may not have any funding, but why don't we ask MoDOT to do something on this project?
That's one thing I was going to ask.
I don't want to hold up the project, but just say, look, we've got this, and all these things that have been change orders. Do you guys think that somewhere in 2013 or whatever you could pay us for these change orders?
Well, they won't cut a check, Danny.
No, I'm not talking about that.
I mean, all we could ask them to do is maybe reduce the distance we're talking about.
I'm talking about future monies.
Like we've talked about, what you're saying, I think, is we've talked about improving F Highway, we've talked about improving T Highway, paying for it now, and then in 13 or something, them giving us half back or all of it back or whatever. That's what you're saying, right? Well,
and I wouldn't bring this up, but Andy told me they would help us with this. He told us this would be a cost-sharing deal back, 18 months ago or so.
Well, maybe that ought to be a separate issue to this changeover. Let's work on that separately, what do you think?
But I just didn't know if we don't want to hold the project up because this thing's going to make us look bad if anything goes wrong. But let's...
The question I had, Frank, was I thought you said the first you knew of that was in the pre-construction meeting?
I spoke with Mr. Lundstrom yesterday afternoon and asked him when is the first time that anybody recalled this. And he said at that time in the pre-construction meeting it was discussed. And so I vaguely recall it being discussed at that point in time, but I did recall that it had been discussed.
Okay, so who, MoDOT brought it up then, or he brought it up, or somebody brought it up?
Somebody brought it up at that point in time, yeah. It should have been caught prior to this point in time.
But MoDOT has the equipment to do it with.
But here, let me ask you a question. All things considered, say we caught it, would the bid been basically $16,000 more?
Yeah.
Most likely, yes. Okay. Based on the unit price.
Who's going to do it?
Boyce.
They're going to have to go lease that kind of equipment? See, MoDOT's got it on site. They do it on the roads around here whenever they groove those roads. It's basically what they groove those roads with. Met one the other day. They're cutting on a hill, wherever it's tapered or a little offside. I just didn't know whether they might do that.
I think time is sensitive right now.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Getting them to do it.
I move that we approve the change order. What number is number 3 for the Coon Creek?
Change order number 3.
Second.
Coon Creek change order number 3 at 76 and BB intersection.
Yeah.
To the tune of $16,872.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Reluctant aye.
Let the record show that Danny was very
reluctant.
Whiny about his eye.
He was. Yeah. More of a grunt.
That was a joke.
I did meet with Tom Boyce in person prior to the job, and was adamant in the fact that we, the county, were concerned with change orders, and we absolutely wanted to keep change orders to an absolute minimum. So I'm actually surprised we're at number three at this point in time. But we did have the conversation.
Very good.
And during our shop talk, moving on to another subject, during our shop talk discussions yesterday, snow readiness was once again discussed. We've made some adjustments to the T-Highway area, adding additional personnel for snowstorm purposes. One thing that the crews mentioned that was difficult to them, and I'd like to make you aware of it, is that during a snowstorm, in the event of during the storm, people will call in and say, my road has not been plowed. And so our typical response is our trucks are in a certain area and they should be there within a certain amount of time. That's our typical response. There are times when people demand that they have an emergency. To them, it's an emergency. So there are times when our office personnel will ask for a truck to move off of its route to respond to a special need. One time last year, I think we had what was a true emergency, and that's where we had an accident and someone was stuck in a vehicle, and even the Highway Patrol couldn't get there, and we responded to that. And to me, that's a true emergency. Some of the calls that come in, I believe, are people that are just concerned that the road hasn't been plowed. What it does, when we pull someone off of a route, it changes the flow of how things are going, and it changes the normal anticipation for someone to receive their road plowed. As years go by, they typically know, based on where they live, I'll probably see a snow plow in 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, or whatever the case may be. I'm asking with your acknowledgement and approval, I'm asking for our office staff to not pull trucks off of the route unless it is a true emergency.
Who makes the determination it's a true emergency?
At this point in time, it's been the office staff.
As you're talking, Frank, I'm thinking that the regular comment is what you said, mm-hmm. and I came in the very tail end of that meeting, and as I've heard many times said, people don't think our truck's been there, but we have been there.
Right.
And I'm wondering if before office staff or whoever makes that determination, can they get the whoever's out there plowing or whoever's leading the group check to see, A, have they been there so that they could respond back to the people calling. In other words, don't give them,
right.
Tell them what the issue is until they have time to call and see, A, they've already been there and they'll be back in 1 hour or 6 hours or 24 or whatever.
That's currently what Kathy does.
Oh, she does?
She does. She uses that procedure right now.
Okay, well, I thought you said their response was that they just automatically said.
No, but there are calls that come in and say, you haven't been here yet. Kathy will call the route area supervisor or the route driver themselves, ask them if they've been to a particular site.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she does confirm. So I just wondered what your thoughts were on that. The biggest impact, according to the supervisors, was being pulled off of a snow route to get called on to a special plow.
Big problem, man.
I mean, I'd like to see, make sure it's you or Randy making the decision, not so much all the office staff. I mean, that would be my suggestion, is that you guys, you've been around in the years,
mm-hmm.
you've been around multiple years in the street,
right.
Road and bridge, so you would have.
So you're saying take that authority away from the office staff, that they would have to check with Frank, yeah. Randy, or whoever.
Because he'll be talking to the crews, he'll be talking to the supervisors. I mean, you kind of know the situation better. You will have a better understanding of the situation versus just everybody in the office, because you'll have the pulse of the crews.
So set up more of a protocol.
And yeah.
Maybe
the request can come from the office, but you need to make you or Randy make.
Maybe you or Randy, whoever's going to make that decision, might want to call the people back and clear the story to be so that you know what.
I would just rather it be someone can take the heat for making a bad decision.
Okay.
I think a little bit different. I think that you and Randy probably are, that's fine, but the people that are on duty at that time are Eugene and Harlan, Stottle and Sam. Am I right? Because they split 24-hour shifts. And those people that are on the job at the time the call is made can answer the question. Otherwise, the call comes in. They call you. You call Randy, or Harlan, Eugene, Sam, or Stottle. Then that call comes back. So we got too much calling. I think that whenever the call comes into the office, you call whichever side it's on, the lead man, and that lead man gets in touch with you and you call and give a verification.
That doesn't seem a lot different. I'm all right with that.
But I don't want to have them call Frank and then Frank have to do the call and then call back to, you see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Try to eliminate as much of it as you can. Now, this other deal is the one thing that I was a little bit bothered with, because you get the same calls, is sometimes, I'll just use one circumstance over here on 160, where Sam is actually working on the east side. He mm-hmm. saves that to the very, very last to do. And whenever he saves that on the very last to do, I get a call from them people every year wanting to know why they're last in getting their roads cleaned. And it's the stretch of road from 65 Highway, the county roads from 160 all the way to F that's on mm-hmm. in that whole stretch there. They're last every year.
Well, and unless they change the route, they're all, whoever's last is going to be last, because they don't change the route, right?
Right, but what I was saying is that, and that's not a, we're talking about 160 Highway. That's the...
Not 160 itself, because we don't do...
No, but we do a lot of that. We do a lot of the state's work. Mm-hmm. Not 160 itself, but we do a lot of state's work on those lettered highways. We drop the plow and do the work for them, because there's no need in running the route twice. And I would like to make sure that everybody feels like they're being treated fair, is what I'm saying. If one year it's one way.
One thing we're doing right now, this week, is that we're actually calculating all the mileage on all three routes to make sure that, to see if there's any room for further adjustments to make sure that the mileage on the routes is split appropriately or the way that we want to. We have added a little over 11 miles in the past couple of years to these routes, so we want to make sure that the routes are calculated accordingly to where they would match the manpower that would need to be done. But without doing those calculations, we won't know that.
Yeah.
So that's being done right now.
You've had this ice in the last 2 years. It's been ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just changed everything. You run a snow route, but just this ice where you have to take a grader where you've already been through with the truck. People don't, like Chuck said, they don't even think you've been through there because it's got ice and stuff on it. It's a judgment call.
Which, if we could spend this minute or two on the discussion, again, that I got in on, was when it's icy and they're running a route, and I even rode a year or two ago with somebody, and it was just that case, we were just running the route. We wasn't doing any bit of good. If anything, as somebody mentioned in the Chop Talk, maybe making it worse, because what little you're getting off is the mixture that you put on by going over it again. It'd been better to leave it alone and it'd be melted. And anyway, the discussion was that in some cases, be better if they just, Sam, Gene, or whoever said, just stop for now. I don't know, that may be impossible to work out.
Well, there's certain locations that, where the roads or curves are hidden behind a hillside or a row of trees where they just, ice stays. And so you, in those locations, it might be best to treat it with our salt and then not plow it for a while until that chemical has a time to have a reaction and create a softer layer that we could peel off and then maybe treat again. So there is some good logic to that.
Maybe, there's, maybe you're better off just to leave them on the route, but maybe a little training of on those kind of areas don't do anymore. Mm-hmm. Just run the route. And
you know,
you're just driving instead of putting the blade down at all.
One deal is just, I think I'm thinking about just what you got through saying is 3 years ago we thought about trading those graders in, and thank goodness we didn't.
Yeah.
Because whenever it got down to the point where we needed them, that's all they actually was doing any good. That was the only thing that was cutting that ice. And so we might, if, let it be a judgment call for you, but if it looks like we're in a situation where we've got ice, just leave them graders on the road because they would pull them to a stop and they'd have them in a location. They got a certain area done. Just run them graders till it's gone. Mm-hmm. Because they're the only thing that will cut it. They're hard on chip and seal and they're hard on everything else, but they're the only thing that will cut it off. Like on those north slopes, they're the only thing that will get it off of there. And just have four graders just stay on it.
We also talked about blades. Even what you just said, that they can wear a blade out in one, they say in one day? Or
cutting edge on the blade.
Yeah, wear a blade cleaned out.
So there's a specification of metal that we're getting now versus what they had received in the past. It's a higher grade of metal that will last longer than the lower grades.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate you. Sounds like you got good conversation and not easy answers on some of that stuff.
Before you move from that, and one thing that we've talked about, have you had any contact with the Corps about the filling of the KDOC hole down there on the $390,000 grant that they've had?
I have not. I did have a conversation with the Corps yesterday. I forget the lady's name that called, but she wanted to verify the language to be struck from the document that we had the meeting for a couple of weeks ago. So I just verified, yes, that language.
With Bob, you verified?
I just recall from the meeting, but the language was that we would place barricades and block access with various hard means, whether it be...
We would not.
We would not. So
you're striking. Would is the strike.
Right, okay. Right. So that language, I just verified that language would was to be struck.
Okay. During that conversation when we had that, that's whenever we got the word about the $390,000 grant that had been. What I want to pursue is them letting us do the work, and they talked like that was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Let our crews do it. The $390,000 that we get for that particular job is like we may get $700,000 worth of work out of that project.
It's possible, yeah.
Because you don't have to pay, you're not paying prevailing wage, you're not paying.
So if you would just follow up, I guess what Danny is, are you saying just say follow up with the court? Was it John Heiser?
Yeah.
You would just follow up to see if there's anything we can do to.
They'll have to
see if we can do the deal for him or.
Yeah.
That brings up KDOC. I believe Randy inspected it the other day. The lake level has been right at the edge of going over the road. It's been right at that level. As of yesterday, the lake was supposed to start receding, and it does not look like we will need to use the Wilson property road if the lake continues to go down, but one or two storms could change that in a matter of hours. A problem was found on the emergency access road in that where we built the embankment for the pond that they wanted, about there's been a good-sized slough-off there, and the reason that slough-off occurred is probably several reasons. One, the slope is closer to a 1-to-1 than a 3-to-1 or 2-to-1 or 3-to-1, which we suggested to them at the time that we needed more room down below because the slope would be too steep. They have not, at this point in time, asked us to fix it. I think it's safe for travel right now, but in the event of a larger rain, it's possible that road may need some emergency repair. I'm just basically making you aware that there's a situation on the
road. They're dropping her fast now, though.
It's open now. I mean, we'll see a big next 3 or 4 days. We should see
starts. I was looking at the campground down here as I come through, and I bet it went down foot last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted you to make you aware of that. Winkle Drive, Mr. Strafis, the telephone pole relocation, Mr. Vanderplug? Yeah. I don't know if there's anything I can do to expedite that process. The last conversation I had with him was that we were to find, or you were to find, a possible agreement with the lady that has the slope or the relocation.
Ann Simonson?
Yes. And so that...
we don't have an agreement. I don't remember that last conversation. He wants us to secure...
He's under the impression that we will help him secure an agreement to place a pole...
On her property.
On her property.
I don't know Miss Ann Simonson. Do you?
Not well, but I know her.
Is that something have you made any contact attempts at all?
I've never spoke with her. I do recall when we talked about this project several years ago, that she was adverse to that idea of having
a pole
on her property, and that it would impede her view to some degree.
She doesn't live there. It's just raw land. Isn't that right?
There's a house up above where the pole would be located.
Gosh, I guess I'm. Where is the pole going to go then? On the corner?
On the corner, on the outside of the corner.
Uh huh. Where's the house she's talking
up
about?
Up above that.
Pole wouldn't go for the on our right of way that's not being used.
Because remember, I thought the road sunk so far back into the non right of way that going back into the right of way of that road, I would thought that we had the right to put the pole there
on the outside of the curve.
The outside of the curve. Outside. That's still well within our easement, I thought.
Let me look at that again and verify that idea.
I thought you guys were thinking right.
Because the whole road came so far inside the easement, it was on his property. That's why we're buying his property. Right. You're buying that easement back. That means our excess easement's on the outside.
I'd say look at it again. If we got the easement, then that's not a problem.
Okay.
I may not be happy because there should still be a
pole there.
I don't want a pole on the easement either, but that's what we got to do.
To get everything right, yeah.
I'm vaguely aware of this next situation that I want to talk about. On Ingenthron Road and H Highway, there's a property owner that has a fence in the middle of a road that's no longer used. It is platted to go all the way through to the Blevins property, which comes out on 160, but someone has purchased some property in the vicinity of where this fence infringes on our right-of-way. It has been surveyed, and the fence is approximately anywhere from 10 to 15 feet on the county right-of-way.
It's not even close.
It's not bothering anyone other than the person that's called me and wants to know when we, the county, are going to have this person move their fence off of the right of way.
Oh, it's a neighbor.
I don't really know what the situation is.
Yeah. Danny, but, I think, could handle that. We could do that to him.
I would suggest
a little more humor there. I was kidding.
I was ready to make a motion.
There's some history there I'm not aware of.
Oh, there's lots of history.
Well, I guess the question is, I mean,
did you say there was somebody bought? Excuse me. Somebody new has bought property.
That's my understanding.
Is that right? That makes it interesting.
Well, I was wondering, as we make ourselves aware of these problems, I mean, aren't we trying to have them fix it, or?
That's no different than the pipe fence that we made the old boy take out, $15,000 worth on Jones Road.
I mean, we made someone else move the pipe fence.
Yeah, he built after he knew that the road was there. This fence went up after he knew the road was there.
How much fence, how long a fence is this?
Maybe 200 feet.
What kind of fence is it?
I think it's just rail and barbed wire.
Yes, yeah, barbed wire highline poles that they set in the corners.
How long has it been like that?
I'm not sure.
But about, this is going on the second year, I think.
So it's a relatively new fence then?
Mm-hmm. It was that, he was setting the poles when we were out there, and we were called to the site. Chuck and I went, and the sheriff's department went.
So he knew that you were in the right-of-ways?
Yep.
He knew that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they covered the stake up that was a survey stake. That was
Did I see some pictures of that on the big screen?
Yeah.
Good.
I know where we're talking. Yeah, we did, because the stakes were there and he knocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we put up a sign recently. I just saw it the other day. It says Incontron Road.
Mm-hmm.
But what the puzzler to me is, we're talking about Rick, right? On the left, as you start down the road.
Yeah, but I'm worried about who bought the property.
That's my point.
I think the person that bought the property is... As the road goes up and then curves, I think the person that bought the property is up above where these two.
Okay. So it's not really the issue where we've had this big issue. It's on the back far.
That's my understanding, yes.
I tell you, what would, might be a good resource for Road and Bridge to look at would be go over here to Mr. Brown, who used to be the realtor before the property sold.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an agreement made, and see if that agreement could still be reached of giving easement to allow a barrier between Rick's property and the new road, and trading easement for easement on the new road to allow a barrier there between this fence, because I think Rick and him built a bunch of fence, and they didn't want to get over there close to that fence. See if that's still a possibility. With the new owners, we may be completely shot there. We may not be able to do that. Mm-hmm. We may have to go right down the fence row.
It might be good if we set a meeting for this new property owner to just see exactly what they're wanting. And
what's Mr. Brown's name over here?
Rick Brown. I think it'd be good to get that new property owner, because if they're really new people, they might want
to. I can check into both. Yeah, I can check into both of those, Rick Brown and the new property owner, and go to Mr. Dixon's office to see what's on file up there.
It's interesting how some projects never get delayed.
The next one I have is Quail Road. I've personally not been on site. Mr. Lowry has been out there twice and had discussions with the, at one point in time it was the potential new homeowner. It's my understanding he's purchased the home now. Mr. Lowry says this condition has been this way for as long as he can remember. The property owner is requesting that the county do something about this open ditch.
Is this the 60-foot culvert they've asked for and two loads of rock?
Let me repeat, if I may, what I've experienced, and that is originally they wanted us to supply
60 foot culvert.
Now originally they wanted the entire length.
Okay.
And I explained to them that we didn't do that because it clogs up and there's no way to clean it out.
Right.
And that. So they came back with the 60 foot request, that if we would supply 60 foot of pipe, then they would do the work. Yeah, this is the best picture I've seen. But as you all know, Frank wasn't here, but when Mr. Burton came in the other day,
there is question of whose property it is.
Yeah, he basically said it was the next door neighbor's.
Part of it's on the next, this may not be, but right. That's probably on the neighbor's property. So, I don't know, do we want to supply 600 or 60 foot of pipe costs us?
$600, almost $700.
At
15 inches, here's a concern that I do have. If we discuss that, one is the length of it, but two, it's my understanding this was built by the developer, so there may or may not be a drainage unit between the two homes. But with the two pipes, I believe one's at 12 and one's at 15, we would have to size...
A 24, probably.
Or possibly larger. I'm not sure. But if we did make an improvement here, I'd want to make a junction box there with a manhole to make it accessible for a clean-out truck or a routing truck.
And not just have three pipes come together.
Right, because the water turns at a 90-degree angle.
Right.
So it's...
Is it...
I don't know the gentleman's request at this point. I saw them.
The gentleman's request was 60 foot and two loads of rock. And he'll do the labor and install it himself.
Actually, I don't think there was a number of the rock. I think I questioned that.
Well, he said one load and...
Did he? Okay.
So he said one load. I thought I heard one load.
I tell you, I think we're not even on the person's property that came in and made the request. That's one thing that really bothers me about getting into a civil.
Well, is it our, did we cause the problem?
No. Here's the neighborhood on paper.
Right.
This purple line represents this drainage channel that we're looking at.
Uh-huh.
Most of the neighborhood drains to this particular spot.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that complicate it. One, it's a 90-degree turn. It's part of the original development. The neighborhood of the development has always drained this particular way. It's not a problem that we caused. Most of the problem appears to be off of our right-of-way. If it were to be done right, I think a junction box is pretty cool.
I don't know. I'm going to step back and ask questions. This is why we don't want to take in, or not take in wholeheartedly, the other subdivision. Was it off of a? Yeah, because of the same deal.
Drainage problems.
Drainage problems caused by the developer, that they're coming to us and we didn't cause the problem. All our problem is that we took the roads in a long time ago.
Pretty good insight there, funny boy.
Thank you, sir. I'll take that as a.
Well, you can look at that ditch down through there. For that thing to be done right, they're going to have to take timber out.
That's a lot of work.
They're going to have to cut them trees that are. They're going to take them out by the roots and down on the far end. And
my concern is they're asking for basically $1,000 of material, and it's a whole lot bigger project than that. And my concern is if we start putting money into it, we're kind of in the game then at that point.
We are in the game at that point. Because if it don't work, we've got to go in there and make it work.
We haven't had any complaints on record about this particular location that I can find. Mr. Lowry stated that the new homeowner has intentions of flipping the house, and his concern is that having that fixed or filled would make the home easier to sell.
I can see that. I can see both sides, but I just don't know if it's a county-caused issue. We inherited the problem when we took the road in.
Well, humor me just a little bit, because there's an issue, Merriam Woods, I think, area, where we did some road improvements. Improved ditches or something. I forget. This has been a year or two. I should have had this back there a long time ago. But anyway, it's directed water. A lot more water is being directed on private property than used to be. And it's going off the hill and headed right for a barn type of thing, a shop. And I don't know why the guy hadn't called me back.
We since fixed it.
Oh, we have?
We have.
Because we caused it.
We were able to, we did probably cause it during the original construction. What we did to fix it, you and I had gone out there one time to look at it. Yeah. It was probably fixed about 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
What we did to fix it was capture the water that was coming from upstream on the county road prior to making it down his driveway and created a diversion or a side culvert to where it forced it to go down a hill prior to making it to his driveway. So it is fixed, and we were able to do that by staying on the county property.
You know, we pretty well made a policy of if we cause the problem,
we fix the problem.
We fix the problem. But this is a little bit of a stretch of that. We took this in with this problem already pre-existing.
But going back to your comment, Mr. Strophis, you look at Horizon Hills. This is what we're trying to
avoid.
To avoid, and we didn't avoid this one. We've got it.
Yeah, I mean, that, the part of the problem is we didn't catch it before we took the road in. I mean, there's two sides. This is my biggest concern. I'm relatively comfortable supplying 60 feet of pipe and a couple loads of rock. I don't think that fixes the problem right. And then what happens is then we have to go in there and fix it right, and it kind of costs a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather us at least look at the option of, if we were to do the work, what is that going to cost us to do it right? And then make a decision, is it something that we want to do or not?
Then we'll be opening a can of worms.
I know we are.
You'd have to excavate that entire ditch line, stabilize it, and place a pipe and structure sized enough to handle a 20-year storm. So that'd be a junction box, a large pipe, and stabilize that entire area.
He says, you know, they're going to furnish riprap. So they're thinking it's going to be a lot of water. I mean, that's what he said the other day when it reached. He said, well, we have to put riprap in.
I'm telling you, that's one side. The other side is the developer caused this one.
Mm-hmm. Or do you leave it an open ditch, reshape the ditch, leave it an
pour
open
concrete,
ditch?
Pour concrete, shape the ditch, yeah. And leave it.
Right.
Put some shot rock in it.
Mm-hmm. Several different ways to attack it, but my question is it our responsibility to do so?
That's a good question. It is a good question.
Do you need to get out of here at noon? I have a few more that I really need to get through.
Yeah.
Let's just, why don't you bring that back up
okay.
Another week or so?
It's not going anywhere.
No, it's not. I want to think about it a little bit more. Because I don't want to put a Band-Aid on a wound here. Okay.
Next, I have two more dirt agreements, which I can just leave with you. Those are dumping areas for some of our excavation of material that is not usable for us to reuse.
Is those just standard? I mean, no, nothing different? I mean, we've done other dirt.
Yeah, we probably have 10 of those on.
Right, just pretty standard. So do we just need to make a motion to approve them or review them or what?
Motion to approve by your signature so that we can use these areas for...
You want to look at them, Danny, or...
Yeah.
So we can get that, so we can actually...
The next thing, I think Mr. Pennell may have been the only commissioner that received a copy of this.
I think you made copies for us, didn't you?
Okay.
I remember the letterhead now.
Yeah, I think I did.
I don't know if I'm to respond or we're to respond, how to respond, or it's been an ongoing issue for 2 years now.
Well, it's pretty simple. If they won't sign the hold harmless, then we're done.
You mean on Lonnie's?
Yeah.
If they won't, I mean, somebody's got to sign a hold harmless. We're finished.
Otherwise, we're going to have 9 of these.
Or possibly more.
This problem just keeps growing and growing and growing. I sat in sewer board meetings there and listened to those 9, I believe it was 9 lots that were to be left unsewered because of problems, and then we turn around and we've got drain problems and
Jim, that was Harry Vanderplug, wasn't it?
Yes.
Harry Vanderplug. Okay.
So really, that's just a reminder.
Do you know where these nine lots are located on the big picture, on the map, on the plat? Can you, next time we get together, can you put these nine lots that haven't signed on the plat so I can see how they affect us?
Yep. He's got them. I've seen them.
Okay.
Either that Sir Board's got them one.
If you would put on a map so I can see that. I've seen the big picture map of where the lots, but I don't know which of these nine, which ones aren't indicated.
Part of them are new ones that are being built currently, and the other part are...
Are they anything to do with the water flow? I mean, is there... Just do that first. I got a couple follow-up questions once I see that.
Okay.
I'm feeling dumb here. Last paragraph. We would ask that the commission create an ordinance taking in the subject road with a hold harmless clause listing the involved lots and excluding the downhill portion of Brown Hill Road from snow removal.
Sort of double talk there.
I don't see what they're saying. I mean, they're asking us to go ahead and take in the road with a hold harmless clause, and that's what we've asked them to sign, and they won't sign it. Is that right?
That's correct. What I've highlighted up above here is a sentence that states, the Board of Directors of Horizon Hills Subdivision would ask that the Taney County Commission approach the hold harmless requirement in another way. And then down here they're saying what appears to be the opposite of what they've said up here.
Clarification.
What I would like to do is, if you want to talk to them, I'm confused about that letter, but I want to see what these nine lots are, because if they're crucial areas, there's nothing we can do.
Well, they are.
It's the crucial areas.
Yeah, it's downhill from the whole neighborhood. They will get water on them. They're getting water on them today.
No, I'm not interested in.
They're getting water on them today. Yeah. They have hay bales in some yards. They have scalped bricks in some yards.
Okay, so the road petition was for Round Hill, Mesquite, Shadow View, and Shadow Lake. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they're all those roads dump into this lower section where these nine.
Not necessarily. That wouldn't. No, probably
not all of it, but a couple of them.
Yeah, I'd say a third of the neighborhood maybe drains to this area.
And we've not denied this yet, have we? If we deny it 6 months before, we can bring it back up.
No, I don't think we've denied it. We've tabled it. We've been working on this for 2 or 3 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we deny it, and it's a year before you...
Is it a year or 6 months? I can't remember what the rule is.
I think it's 6 months. I'm not sure.
I think it's 6 months, I thought.
You know, this, going backwards to Quail, you made an excellent point. I mean, here's evidence that we're not
dumb.
Idiots.
Yeah, I mean, this is
for being hard to get along with. What appears to them, we're trying to be hard to get along with. But this is the case.
Yeah.
Like you said, 6 or 7 times, or however how many we may be getting into. I mean, we don't have culverts that's going to do this, but it could be as bad or worse problems. I mean, water running into houses.
They're small lots. I mean, it could be worse, and the slope is much greater.
I'd be fearful of having private property damage, including someone's home.
Yeah.
And what's the difference in a citizen that's got a tin on where they don't like it crossing their lawn? I can think of one right now, Mount Branson, Richard Davis, when we went up there, and Richard wanted us to, but it actually tilted the wrong way, and we replaced it, but they had a concrete... You've been up there, haven't you, Frank? Mm-hmm. They got a concrete ditch sloped in to get the water off the bluff. But I mean, before that, it run right down his driveway, right into the house, and then run around the house on both sides. So.
Well, it reminds me of Clevenger Cove. That one guy had water in his garage because of Emerald Point, because we created.
So everybody that has a tin horn that they don't like the location of can.
Could I give Frank, my thought is, you go back to Mr. Lonnie Brown and say, Lonnie, we're not budging, and if you don't get him, we're done. Because that's really the message is. I'm speaking as one guy right now, but, I mean, I think I couldn't support, if we can't get 100%, I can't support taking these roads in. Because once again, if it's not this year, it's next year or new homeowner from now. And it's not fair to do that.
You know, and I don't know whether I haven't got my message yet. You know, I got the dinner appointment with the FEMA guy tomorrow night. And wouldn't hurt, I guess, maybe to ask him about some of these situations. I might take some of these pictures along and ask him what's the county's responsibility once it gets to this point.
Right. I mean, I know if we had a stormwater retention policy within the P&Z, this would have fixed the problem. I mean, that problem, because we would have addressed stormwater runoff.
Well, I think we have that in the policy. I don't think we had the
process?
We haven't enforced it, is I think, the issue.
To go backwards a little bit here, on Quail Road, is the county, the way I'm saying this, the county is being asked to fix this problem. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure Mr. Burton feels this way, that we've caused it. It's our problem. We wouldn't be asked to fix it if it wasn't our problem.
That's why he comes to us.
Okay.
Right.
So, if little two-word, lettered word, if we were to take it as our problem, then in order to fix it, we'd have to have an easement.
We would need an easement. We'd need a temporary easement from probably both property owners to work the equipment to fix it. But yeah, we need a drainage easement. They claim it's county water. Every time I run into an issue like this, they claim it's county water. Well, really, it's water that's draining the entire development.
It is. It's.
Do we own it? Did we put the water there? No.
Call me tomorrow. We're talking about the FEMA stuff right now.
I told Mr. Burton, I said,
still on the,
I guess you can say some of it's county water that's coming off of our road.
I have
a
question
or two
that I want to ask you. We're looking at situations.
A whole lot of the water is what you said, and that's all those lots that drain that way. And, of course, his argument is, well, before it was all built, it was spread out, wasn't coming out of two culverts, and so it didn't create this ditch.
Right.
But my point is, if you want us to fix it, give us the land to fix it on. I mean, it needs to be, if you're saying it's our stuff, then...
I mean, if we decide to even go that direction, your question is right. I mean, we would have to have the easement, the permanent easement for drainage, if we even wanted to address it. But you're right, that would be, that'd have to be at least one condition if we even want to go down that path.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks for hearing that out. Okay.
I don't have anything on my list as far as that goes for moving forward. Just hold off for a bit.
Hold on. I want to think about it for another week or so. This, on this thing, what do we want to tell Frank to do? Talk to Lonnie and say, say Lonnie, you gotta get him. Is that right?
Bring us or let you look at the map and then tell him that.
Well, I would show me the map and let him know anyway. Because I'm about ready to deny just so they have an answer, because they need to know how serious the commission is about not going back on, by not making a decision, they still think there's hope, I guess. So.
I think maybe it'd be fine to take these pictures along and say,
this is why we're doing this.
This is a ditch, but it could be in somebody's house, and this is what we're trying to keep from happening.
About four more issues. I'll try to be as quick as I can. This next one is a request from a Mr. Dale Christensen, who lives in Cedar Ranch Estates. We've recently taken the rest of the roads in that off of O Highway. Mr. Christensen states that the developer told him that this is Mr. Christensen's lot right here. The developer in his home right here. The developer told him that if the county ever took these roads in, that he would be deeded back to the cul-de-sac that has never actually been built there. You can sort of see that it's there, but it's never actually been built. There is a road that has some court history.
That goes beyond?
That goes beyond that.
That was in that discussion we had.
Okay.
That cul-de-sac's being... We're going to keep the cul-de-sac, isn't that what we decided? We're going to... You'll have to pull the meeting minutes.
His comment is, the court decision states that road that goes through onto O is a road. It's the court decision states it's to stay open and be used for public use. If that's the case, what's the need for the cul-de-sac that our trucks won't use anyways because they're already using that other public access road?
All we did is took it into maintenance. Mm-hmm. We didn't address that beyond. We purposely didn't address that.
So what he's saying, I was out there with Frank the other day. There's no need for the cul-de-sac because there is a public road, according to a judge, past the cul-de-sac. So we don't need the cul-de-sac to turn around. If we were plowing snow, we would just continue right on down the road, or if we were improving the road.
From the point of...
But we said we were going to stop maintenance at a certain point. We need our trucks to turn around.
But his point is, and I don't know that it's not a bad point, we don't need a place to turn around.
Other than the section of public road that has some court history on it, is it only a public road and it's not? It wasn't asked to be part of the original petition.
Because it wasn't wide enough, was it?
It's not. Well, it's 16 feet.
There's no easements.
It's wide enough for our trucks to go down.
I know, but it's not wide enough easement for a county road.
No,
it's not. No. And we would never, I don't think the county would ever take it in for maintenance. But to maintain this 50-foot of road here.
I've already been out there.
I think that gentleman was here when we talked, too.
He had concern.
There's a lot of controversy about that before we...
But to his point, if you sat in his chair, he's saying, okay, you're going to maintain this road. Mm-hmm. And the reason for a cul-de-sac is so you can come in here and turn around. And there's no need for that because you come right on out.
We can choose not to maintain that road. I mean...
We don't maintain this road.
I know, but we could just bring that cul-de-sac way back and say, okay, we just won't maintain any of that road. Man, we can go back all the way to here.
Well, we've already taken it in. We have to revert.
Any one of us could make a motion to reconsider on it. I mean, I understand what his point is, but that's why we had that discussion.
I wasn't here when you guys voted on this one.
It's probably one
of the best companies. I mean, I'd
like to see the vote closed.
There was a lot of controversy.
It was all here. Yeah. I mean, we heard it all. And that he brought that point up, and that's what the answer was here.
Was that we would put a cul-de-sac in.
The cul-de-sac would be put back in. We wouldn't take any more property, and we probably wouldn't even widen the driving surface any more than it was, but we couldn't guarantee it. You really need to listen to the audio tape. You were gone that day, weren't you?
I don't recall.
There was a Monday morning meeting. Yeah, and if you want to pull the audio, but that was, he specifically brought up those issues.
It was in October, whenever.
It was just recent.
It was when my dad passed away, because I wasn't here.
It was probably October.
Was it October? Because mm-hmm. We're in December now?
Yeah.
God, goes fast as a county commissioner.
So we're opposed.
You want the week over so bad they just fly by.
We're opposed to his suggestions and his request.
What?
Are we opposed to his request?
The motion on the table that's been approved is that a cul-de-sac goes right there, and that's where the maintenance stops.
Okay. I think he understands that.
Okay.
But doesn't necessarily agree with it. It is questioning why do we need a cul-de-sac and a road that they can go through.
That was discussed in that meeting.
Okay. I'll listen to
it. Was it not?
No, you're right. I don't remember.
I mean, he's rehashing.
He brought up much discussion, and I don't remember how we left it. I mean, we didn't agree to take the cul-de-sac out.
Right. We were very clear to say, you know, we can't guarantee it, but...
But I don't know that we... Exactly. We did not guarantee nothing about changing anything. Right. And he's coming now and asking us to change it.
Listen, go try to pull the audio and listen to it. That was done...
But even if I pull the audio and it states...
Well, you can hear the concept, the conversation, and then maybe after talking to him, you can understand...
The context of all of
it. Yeah.
All right, I'm not done. Let me throw one thing out there.
Okay. Yet.
We're maintaining that road to the end of where his property stops.
Yes.
And this huge contentious road starts thereafter. in maintaining that road, whether it be snow plowing or chip and seal or whatever, will the county need that turnaround? Let's say we're chip and sealing the road.
No.
Would we take our chip and seal machine and turn it around there and go back the other direction? Or would we go back out the contentious road and come back some way?
We'd go back out to that spot and come back. We wouldn't use the turnaround.
You would not turn. You just keep on plowing.
Okay. If we're plowing.
We don't necessarily plow public roads. We do some.
But the cul-de-sac's now a maintained road.
It's grass. It's not built. It's not existing right now. It's platted, but it's not built. The cul-de-sac itself.
So when we took it in, what did we take in?
The road in front of
us. What class? I guess I may have.
I don't know.
I thought that the cul-de-sac was chip sealed.
No, I don't think so.
It's not. It's a non-improved cul-de-sac that's platted on paper and vaguely on site. You can see where that cul-de-sac should be. It's roughed in.
Okay, I thought it was chip seal.
I guess the big question for us is, will the county ever have a need for that cul-de-sac?
Not with the ability to continue to follow through on that road.
So you're going to drive that road no matter what, without the cul-de-sac?
They're currently using it.
No, you.
Yes.
Under maintenance program, you're not going to make the guys turn around. They would just continue on.
Yes.
And that's his... From his seat, that's what he's looking at. That's my question to Road and Bridge is there any, if there's ever a reason that we might need a cul-de-sac there, and only thing that I can see is if a judge would reverse his decision and close that road, mm-hmm. Otherwise we're not ever going to need it.
Right.
And I guess if, you wouldn't want to go there, but I guess if that ever happened, we could condemn it. And have a cul-de-sac back.
Yeah.
There's a process to go through to close that. And then we can reject it or...
Well, I guess the two property owners that abut O Highway at the beginning of this road that was in court personally would rather have that road closed.
Mm-hmm.
And they attempted to do so through the court process.
Right.
And at the finding at the end of the trial was that the road had to stay open.
I've already had calls. I wasn't here, but I've already had lots of calls and lots of comments on that.
I think that issue started about the time you came on, because Dave Altus brought that to us, and we decided not to mess with it and let the court decide, and that's
what they want to know why you boys done it without me being here, so the conversation that I got. So I said, well, I was gone. With my dad.
Oh, why we took the roads in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this part of it was part of what their conversation was. So.
The two people that own lots on back here.
Yeah, the court.
See, that's why we supported them. So they should be happy.
I wasn't here.
We supported the concept that the road note doesn't exist because we put a cul-de-sac in. Well, their concept is if we, by us creating a cul-de-sac, we're saying we need a turnaround for our vehicles. So they should be happy.
Yeah, the one of the main issues is the fact that we had not a 40-foot easement.
But we didn't touch it past.
I know, but that's the reason the cul-de-sac's there, right?
We stopped it where the turnaround because we had the easements to turn around.
Yeah, we had a 40-foot easement.
And we didn't want to take anything in that was less than the easement.
Yeah,
requirement.
That's what I said. There's a whole bunch of conversation about it. I'd say that...
Well, if you'd have been here, would you have been against us taking it in?
I don't know. I didn't know. I started getting calls, and I didn't know the whole deal. But, I went out there with Altus and drove all that out, and this was in question. This whole deal here was in question. That was when we took it down to the wedge.
Yeah. See, I think that they would be more upset. If we take that cul-de-sac out, those two property owners are going to be more upset because then they're going to know that we're driving straight through.
But a judge has
said it's a road.
I mean, it's none of our business. I mean,
exactly.
He made the decision, and
I just don't know. The property owners may have an opinion one way or the other. So, Frank, how many more?
I mean, we do drive through there now. Prior to maintaining the other half of this development, we use this road also.
Okay.
What else I have is I have a name for citizens that call in all the time. I call them frequent flyers. This is Mrs. Taylor Smith on Bird Road. Has called several times this week, and we've had discussions.
I'll give you a new name, too. I got a name for someone off of Bird Road. He sends me emails weekly. Go ahead. You can start.
Here's a picture of her home.
It's on Bird Road on a stretch of road that's flat, smooth. We've had... it has a for sale sign in it. For some reason, people like to speed on this section of road. It's flat and smooth. It's very rare
flat
to have that.
Straight. Yeah.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
Me too.
She's asked again for us to do something. She'd like some guardrail to protect her property. And I said that this section of road is not does not warrant a guardrail based on the normal criteria that we use. Tandy County to put up guardrails.
And that went over well, didn't it?
No. she's asking that we do more patrols out there. She's asking, we put the speed signs up there twice that I know of, possibly three times. We have put more speed signs up there. We've also done the electronic. We've done everything I think we can do. I told her I can't keep cars from coming off of the road, or I cannot keep cars from speeding on this section of the road. Mr. Russell has suggested, she stated today that Mr. Russell has suggested she might want to move due to these continual problems.
Richard Valdick? That's who else
have
I get.
You tried the new cable system, like on 644? And...
All right, just to humor me.
I can't.
Guardrails, how much a foot?
It's very expensive. I don't have the per-foot price right now.
Has there ever been accidents there?
There's been two in the last 2 months.
Right there in front of her house?
Yes, there's some skid marks.
I've been into that fence, I think, one time.
One the day before Thanksgiving and one around Labor Day.
You have a broken windshield, by the way. It looked like you guys got in the accident.
She, you know, I've talked to her I don't know how many times. And, again, you sit in her chair... And I think she's got bedrooms on that side of the house, and she's concerned about a car going into her house. And, you know, we've seen that happen, not here. Well, we've seen it again.
Where's her easement stop?
Usually it's the top of any ditch line.
Okay.
Anything wrong with her planting some trees or protection?
I mean, exactly what I thought just a couple of days ago.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's our easement when we plant some trees.
That's what I was thinking.
It might create a site hazard for the...
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
A guardrail would be probably cheaper.
She could plant trees.
I mean,
at a certain point, gentlemen, we have to consider private property versus public property, and they have to provide for their own protection, and like two or three trees along there might be the thing.
But you know, here's my other thing is the road was there first, probably. No question.
She asked me to keep my cars off of her landscaping, and I stated that they're not my cars. She says, well, it's county road, so they're your cars. No, they're not my cars that travel on the county road. So I need to give her a call back this afternoon, and I told her we would discuss this issue this morning.
Well, I'm again guardrail.
I am too.
It doesn't fall into the criteria of guardrail.
You know, I'd love to help this lady, but the other side of the coin is, think about Joe Albury's property and that new development. How many times has there been somebody run through that poor guy's wood fence?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
David Lowry, they finally put
David,
post up.
Decorative stone fence, 6 feet tall and 2 feet wide would be nice.
Yeah.
I can suggest she could plant some trees in on her property and possibly some landscape boulders that would...
Only if she probably asked for your suggestion. I bet she's not going to be too receptive after you say...
No.
Anyway.
I can't support guardrail.
Okay.
I can't. Not on a straight stretch of the road.
We're well past 12 o'clock. I'm sorry. Taney County Road and Bridge has assisted Western Taney County Fire in digging the hole that will hold their
water tank.
Water tank.
Awesome.
A new request has come from Western Taney County Fire to create a trench line for ditch for water drainage purposes from the bottom of this hole to about 150 feet long. According to Harlan, there is a dirt vein, of which you can see evidence here, that continues to go that way. They feel they can possibly do this in one day if everything goes good, at worst 3 to 5 days. So that request came to me yesterday from Mr. Danny, I don't remember his last name.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to do it.
Or they have a contractor coming in to do the rest of the work. That's their other option, but we would probably save them money versus a contractor doing it.
I'm all right with it.
I am too.
Okay.
You know, when scheduled.
Can you just make sure with Bob, with the intergovernmental agreement, it's states?
Noted. It's not on there now. It would have to be an addendum or something.
Would you just go ahead and get the addendum and we'll vote on it? But yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it.
Okay. They're moving out today. Can I give them the go-ahead to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please, are you about done?
I have three more things. I'll try and be real quick.
You said you had four. That was five ago. Try to be quick.
I can't. I'm not very good at counting.
We're back here at 12:45, right? You know that.
I've got some fried chicken back
over there. Transfer station DNR. It appears obvious whether we fight the issue or not, which the last direction was to argue the addition of doors being on the front of that. Due to the fact that doors were asked to be on it during the last time we reconstructed that building.
I talked to DNR at the MAC conference. He said you're going to have to have doors. Everyone that's being touched has to have doors. Yeah.
And they had doors before last time we
Right. And so my recommendation is to redesign with doors.
That's what we have to do if we want to move.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, second it.
All right. I don't know if we need a vote, but go ahead and get it redesigned.
Okay. Last year or a year and a half ago, we had a request from the east side to create a break room up above. There was a big storage area. We asked to create a break room. There's twice as many people as can fit into the existing break room. It was previously approved up to an expenditure of about $10,000. That is, and then at some point in time, I was asked not to do that.
Easy, Jim. I would, excuse me for interrupting, very improper of me, but Jim's about to flip out with hunger.
Okay.
Can we table this and go get some lunch? And
okay.
Well, let's just go on.
Two more really.
We're fine.
So
I'm actually go ahead. They haven't even got room to sit down and have their lunch out there.
They don't.
Got my go ahead.
Go ahead.
Including.
Is our guys going to do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we kind of work together to make sure we don't leave a project undone before we move on to it? Because is it Charlie's crew going to do it?
Probably Biggs and Delmer.
So it's not the same crew?
Correct. Different crew.
I'm fine.
We're also requesting with that to put three walls up to make an office for Ronnie, because the lead workers are being asked to do more paperwork downstairs and record keeping. They don't really have room to do that. So we're putting up four walls and extending some computer line and telephone line.
The office would be upstairs?
Just for
Ronnie?
Just for Ronnie.
And there's not room where, like Kathy was years ago?
If you saw it, right now we have about four supervisors, Ronnie, Gene, and Harlan, trying to use that one area.
Okay. It's a terrible pass-through.
What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, it's terrible.
The office upstairs is good?
Office, I'm not fond of it, but it's got to be done.
Good. We're good.
Next thing I have is snow removal for the parking lots out here. And I haven't talked to Chris Robertson at this point in time, but yet last year there was, once in a while, we did the city roads because it was our parking lots. I'm assuming this new parking lot that was built, that's fully ours, and that will be done by our forces.
The parallel parking on the street.
The parallel parking on...
We need to cover that because it didn't get done last year and it was a booger for us for ice.
Like in front of where the sheriffs are?
Yes, yeah. The whole stretch needs to be done too.
If it can get done before... I mean,
yeah. If you everything else was done fine.
Some kind of a scheduling. If you can find out when the sheriff's department can move their vehicles, or like if there's two or three down through there, and just go down through there and slide
it. Yeah, because the problem is if we can get it and we know it's ours, we'll have a better chance of it getting done.
Okay. Does that include in front of my office, in front of the assessors?
And in front of the new sewer P&Z building? Yeah.
Okay. And then snow removal on sidewalks, whose responsibility?
It's ours. Okay. Maintenance group.
Okay. That's all my questions have been
answered. No, it's not. Come on, Frank. You have four more, I'm sure.
Nope.
Come on, Frank.
I don't.
Damn.
You sure? I mean...
Yep.
We have 25 minutes. We're almost in the sweet spot now.
Aren't you hungry?
We have 25 minutes to come back. Isn't that next one?
Malnutrition.
12:45.
Recess before 12:45.
Thank you so much.
Got about 6 pieces of chicken to be melted.
And I'm going down. Went off the side. I'm going down to eat some of that open face. Go sleep down beside daddy.
Cheap steak day, too.
Cheap steak, but I don't think it didn't happen.
Oh.